Before a young man receives an appointment as an officer in the United States Air Force, a declaration of commitment is made. I, state your name, having been appointed a second lieutenant in the United States Air Force, do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office upon which I am about to enter, so help me God. Oaths of similar content are also stated by other branches of military service. Before an immigrant is granted United States citizenship, a declaration of commitment is made. I hereby declare on oath that I absolutely and entirely renounce and abjure all allegiances and fidelity to any foreign prince, potentate, state, or sovereignty of whom or which I have heretofore been a subject or citizen, that I will support and defend the Constitution and laws of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I will bear arms on behalf of the United States when required by the law, that I will perform non-combatant service in the armed forces of the United States when required by the law, that I will perform work of national importance under civilian direction when required by the law, and that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, so help me God. Throughout our society, we see the practice of verbal commitments being made by those entering into a specified service. To require a confession of allegiance requires that the one requiring allegiance has the right to do so. The centurion who made a request of the Lord understood the significance of authority when he said, "For I also am a man set under authority, having under myself soldiers, and I say to this one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." Luke 7 and verse 8. With this necessity of authority understood, we are assured that Jesus of Nazareth has that authority. For the scriptures say, "Who was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, even Jesus Christ our Lord," Romans 1 and verse 4. With this in mind, we can readily understand three statements made in the scriptures. 1. When Philip preached to the Ethiopian, as they went on the way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch saith, "Behold, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Acts 8, 36-37. 2. "Because if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Romans 10, 9 and 10. 3. The Apostle Paul to Timothy, "Fight the good fight of the faith, lay hold on the life eternal, whereunto thou wast called, and did confess the good confession in the sight of many witnesses. I charge thee in the sight of God, who giveth life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed the good confession, that thou keep the commandment without spot, without reproach, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Timothy 6, 12-14. Thank you for joining us for Daily Bread. This is Ross Triplett encouraging you to remember the words of the Hebrew writer who said, "Having then a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession." Hebrews 4 and verse 14.